Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Father, we thank you again for Jesus Christ. We thank you for how he cuts it straight. We thank you for his love for us, that he ends this sermon with warning after warning after warning. Father, we pray that we would rightly hear these words in the spirit that they were given. Father, we ask that we would be a people who not only hear the words of Jesus, but do them. Lord, we don't want to fall. We don't want to build our house on sand. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and be with us this morning, that you would help us learn from you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would convict and you would encourage, that you would strengthen. Lord, we pray that you would help us to build our house upon the rock. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the verses we are studying today, we hear the final words of the greatest, most well-known sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who has ever lived. Here, Jesus emphasizes the necessity of not only hearing the words of the greatest sermon ever preached, but doing the words that he preached. His words. What an amazing privilege and grace and mercy from God that we even get to hear the words of Jesus. I wonder if you realize that this morning, that it is an amazing mercy that ought to cause us to sing and shout and dance, that we even get to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Think about the billions of people who have never even gotten the opportunity to hear the words of the greatest man who's ever lived. People all over the world from the time of Jesus and before the time of Jesus have not even been able to hear his words. Still today, there are an estimated 7,000 people groups who have still not heard the gospel. Over 3 billion people in the world who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, you are a blessed people. Of all the people who have ever lived in the world from its beginning until now, you here this morning, even if this is the only words of Jesus you hear, you are a blessed people. Unbelievably blessed. I don't care what's going on in your life, how terrible it is, what happened on the way, how bad and miserable you think your life is. You are unbelievably blessed to even hear one word of Jesus. Unbelievable that we get to hear the words of Jesus. But Jesus makes clear to us today that hearing is not everything. Merely hearing the words of Jesus can even lead to a worse fall than if you never heard them at all. Many people hear his words and still perish and will be judged more strictly because they heard them and didn't obey. Churches are filled with people who hear Jesus' words every week, but they don't believe and obey Jesus' words. This is the third time in the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this greatest sermon ever preached, that he warns us not to be deceived. This was heavy on Jesus' heart when he finished the greatest sermon ever preached, that people not be deceived. First, he warned us, don't be deceived by false prophets. And then he warned us, don't be deceived by your own false profession of faith. Many will say, Lord, Lord. And now he warns us today in his final word to us in this sermon, don't be deceived by your own faulty hearing that does not result in obedience. And Jesus is asking us all a question this morning. What will you build your life on? Christ and his word and obedience to his word, that's the rock. Not just Christ and his word, but obedience to his word. That's the rock. That's digging down deep with a strong foundation that you will not be shaken. Not just Christ and his word, but obedience to his word. Or will you build your life on self and the world and sin and lies and hearing his words but not doing them? That's sinking sand. Hearing Jesus' words and not doing them is sinking sand. J.C. Ryle commented, you remember when David had slain Goliath and he comes back in to Jerusalem and they're all cheering. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. J.C. Ryle takes that imagery and makes a comment, open sin and unbelief will slay its thousands, but profession without practice will slay its 10,000s. So yes, we know there are many people who live in open sin and unbelief. They're not here today. They're home watching TV or reading something else or indulging in sin. And yes, that slays its thousands. But Ryle says hearing Jesus' words and not obeying slays its 10,000s. And so this is a sermon for us who regularly hear the word of Jesus. Point number one, Jesus encourages us both to hear and to do his words. Look at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We must hear the words of Jesus. This is true. We must hear the words of Jesus. I wonder if you can remember how or where you first heard the words of Jesus. Maybe it was your parents who first taught you the good news of the words of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it was a friend who shared the gospel. Maybe it was reading the Bible. We just heard a wonderful testimony by our brother Rob about how he was reading the Bible and even heard the word on the radio. And that had a profound impact on his life, bringing him to Christ. Or you heard the words of Jesus in a movie or a book that you read, or maybe a missionary. People hear the words of Jesus through missionaries or through the church proclaiming the truth. We have to hear the words of Jesus. in order to be saved. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And this is foundational. This is not primarily what this text is about. But this is foundational to us being able to obey Jesus. We must first come to realize that we've not obeyed the words of Jesus, that we have sinned against God. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have done all of those things that Brother Anthony prayed in his opening prayer. We have committed adultery, either physically and actually, or in our minds and hearts. Jesus said in this very sermon, if you've looked at a woman and lusted, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We've not loved our enemies. I mean, think about this Sermon on the Mount. How many of you have done these things perfectly, perpetually, all of your life? No, we failed to live up to this standard. And the Bible declares all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why God sent us a Savior. You see, we do deserve God's righteous judgment in hell forever for our sin. But God loves sinners. And so He sent His Son into the world, the God-man who lived that perfectly obedient life and died on the Roman cross and suffered the wrath and curse of God, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead so that all who repent, turn from sin, and believe in Him might be saved. You can't work for this. You can't earn this by your obedience. Don't leave this sermon today thinking, I've got to be more obedient to Jesus so that I'll be justified and right with God. You'll never get there that way. You must turn from your sin. Turn from your trying to earn God's love and simply receive the work of Jesus by faith alone. To him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And when you believe on him, when you trust in him, when you don't try to clean yourself up but come to him in all your rags and all your dirt and all your sin and say, I can't change myself, I can't help myself, I can't forgive myself, I can't do anything, Lord, help me. And cry out to him for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus, be merciful to me, the sinner. He will justify you. He'll forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future. He'll declare you righteous, declare you not guilty, declare you forgiven, and count His righteousness as your righteousness, and adopt you as His son, and put His Spirit in you, and bring you into union with Jesus, and empower you then by the Spirit to obey. And that's what these verses are talking about. That obedience. So these verses aren't talking about the root. That was the root, which is absolutely necessary for you to be able to obey. That's why Jesus started with the Beatitudes. The root is justification by faith alone in Christ alone. But Jesus is talking about the fruit in this passage. The rock we build upon is obedience to Jesus. He's talking about the fruit. Jesus likened the wise man to a man who hears the words of Jesus and obeys. That's the thrust of this passage. The focus of these verses today is on the fruit, not the root. If we truly believe, if we're truly justified by faith alone in Christ alone, we will bear fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, we never got the root. We never trusted in Christ by faith alone. Beloved, both of these men hear the words of Jesus. The wise man and the foolish man, they both hear the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking these words to people who are here today, not the guy down the street who doesn't even come to church. He's speaking to those who hear His words. And Jesus makes it clear that merely hearing the words of Jesus is not enough. Merely hearing the words of Jesus is not enough. Don't be deceived into thinking you are okay just because you've heard his words. Matthew Henry writes, "It is not enough to hear Christ's sayings and to understand them. It is not enough to hear them and remember them. It is not enough to hear them and talk about them. It is not enough to hear them and repeat them. It is not enough to hear them and admire them. It is not enough to hear them and dispute for them. We must hear them and do them." And so we have all kinds of people who are hearing and they'll repeat them in the pulpit. And we have pastors who do this. We have people who hear them and rejoice in them. Oh, the wonderful words of Jesus. People who will hear them and sing about them. Hear them and dispute them and argue for them. Argue for the truth. Jesus is telling us this morning, none of that matters. Hearing them and doing them is what matters. That's the rock. That's the rock. Obedience. We must do the words of Jesus. Ligon Duncan comments on these verses. The Lord Jesus is talking about us embracing him with our whole lives. With our hearts, with our minds, with our souls, with all of our strength in action. And this is a continuously stressed point of Jesus' teaching. Think about the words of Jesus elsewhere. We saw this in verse 21 of chapter 7. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Or remember back in chapter 6, verse 15. "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Matthew 12:50, going forward, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Luke 11:28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We see this in the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Paul is saying, if you practice those things, if that's the characterization of your life, there's no repentance, no hating those sins, turning from them, then you're not going to enter the kingdom. And he says to the Corinthians, such were some of you. You were that, but you've been washed. You don't live that way anymore. That's not the way your life is characterized. You've turned from those sins and you're following Jesus now. James spoke of this. James 1:27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." We ought to be praying as a congregation now, "Lord, how would you have us welcome Afghan refugees?" I hope you're wrestling. Should I seek to get in touch with the Philadelphia government where they're coming into the Philadelphia International Airport and I have an extra room in my house? Should I open a room in my house to an Afghan refugee? We ought to be praying about that. "Lord, would you want me to do this?" Because that's doing the words of Jesus. Oh, it's uncomfortable. It might be a little scary. But that's what Jesus called us to do. James 2:17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Is dead. Faith without works is dead. John, 1 John 2:3, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." And so Jesus is stressing obedience here in this passage. He stressed it over and over again in other gospels, and so do the apostles. Jesus compares hearing and doing his words to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus compares in our passage hearing and doing the words, his words, to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, what is the rock? What is the rock? There are many true statements about what the rock is in the Bible, but they're not from this text. It's true that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Jesus is the rock. Jesus' words are the rock. Verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine, his words are the rock. But again, you can hear the words of Jesus. You can call Jesus Lord and rock. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here in this passage. In this passage, Jesus is talking about obedience to his word. That's the rock. That's what Jesus likens to a wise man. In this passage, someone who hears the words of Jesus and does them. Building on the rock means obedience to Jesus Christ and his words. Look at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This is wisdom. This is the wise man who does this. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the wise man who fears the Lord and obeys his commandments. Also, beloved, just notice, Jesus is God. I wonder if you're struck by this. Psalm 62, 1 and 2, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. And Jesus is the rock. God is the only rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is God. And notice the amazing nature of what he says in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine. Woo! Does that strike you? He doesn't say everyone who hears the words of the law or everyone who hears the words of Yahweh or everyone who hears the words of God Almighty. He says everyone who hears these words of mine. Jesus, what we do with his words will determine whether we stand or fall. Jesus is God Almighty. Point number two, if you both hear and do the words of Jesus, you will most certainly not fall. If you both hear and do the words of Jesus, you will most certainly not fall. Look at verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. If you build your house on Jesus and his words, and you obey him, you will never fall. If you build your life on Jesus and his words and obey them, you will stand forever. If you trust in him and trust in his words and obey him and his words, you will never fall. This is an encouragement this morning to the people of God. Because, beloved, you know, if you've lived long enough, rains and floods and winds are coming in life. They have come and they will come. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus is using rains and floods and winds as a metaphor to describe the trials and sufferings and pains and hardships and tribulations of this life, and they will come and beat on you. They will come and seek to beat you down. Failures in life happen. Our own sins happen. Friends and family betray us and hurt us. We struggle with health problems that discourage us. Those close to us sometimes stop following Jesus. Marriages break up. Marriage never happens in the first place. Our children suffer. We never have children, possibly. Husbands and daughters die in car accidents. A very prominent Anglican pastor in Nashville was driving his 22-year-old daughter to New Mexico this past Monday, his first day of sabbatical. 50 years old and was looking forward to sabbatical to go on a vacation with his wife to Europe. And as he was driving down I-40 in Tennessee, he changed lanes and a transfer trailer truck slowed down and he crashed into the back of the truck and killed himself and his daughter instantly. And now there's a wife and a daughter without a father and a husband. Winds come, rains come. I also read last week that 5 young children died in a house fire, leaving their mom without her 5 little babies. Beloved, when things like that happen, if you're not standing on the rock, you'll fall. You'll fall. The Taliban takes over your country and is putting women to death because they won't feed the fighters, hunting out Christians. Wicked false doctrine attacks your faith. Tragedies and hardships in this life happen. Your life just doesn't turn out the way that you hoped. Life is hard. The world, the flesh, and the devil attack us. For unbelievers, the wrath of God is coming. For unbelievers, there's a rain, flood, wind, storm that's infinitely worse than all of those things. The wrath of God is coming. Rains and floods and winds are coming, Jesus said. But we're encouraged here. If you wisely build your life on Jesus and His words, and you trust and obey Him, you will never fall. In the face of those kinds of storms and winds and rains, you won't fall. You have a solid foundation to stand on. When all around your soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. You will stand. You will not give up. You will not fret. You will not fear. When all around the world is fearing, we should expect the world to fear death. We should expect the world to fret and fear pestilence. We are different. We are in Christ. We don't fear anything frightening. That's who we are because we stand on the rock. We're different from the sand standers. Jesus and His Word is your rock that you will never be shaken. We must trust and obey. He is our firm foundation. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will never pass away. This is our foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. In trying to describe this person who builds on the rock, Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his three sermons on this one passage, wrote this, Psalm 112:7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He is not afraid of pestilences. He is not afraid if wars should arise. He is not afraid of evil tidings. He does not say, what are we going to do tomorrow morning? Not a bit. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Again, take this magnificent word in Isaiah 28:16. He that believeth shall not make haste. Or if you prefer it, he that believeth shall not be confounded. He that believeth shall not be taken unawares. Why? Because he has been paying heed. He has been preparing so that whatever comes to meet him, he has a foundation. Our Lord himself has taught it perfectly in the parable of the sower. He tells us that the false believer had no root in himself. He endured for a while, but when persecution came, he was finished. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Read again the account of those first Christians who, when they were being persecuted, even being put to death, thanked God that he had counted them worthy to suffer for his name's sake. We have those great stories of the first martyrs and confessors who, though thrown to the lions in the arena, yet praised God. Far from complaining, Paul, as he writes to the Philippians from prison, gives thanks to God for his imprisonment because it gives him an opportunity to preach the gospel. He could even endure the treachery of false friends. He was perfectly happy and quite serene through it all and could even look into the face of death and say that it was kind because it meant going to be with Christ, which is far better. He tells the Corinthians that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Read 2 Corinthians 4. Read the list of his trials and tribulations. Despite it all, he can say that. And then listen to him. In his old age, facing death again, knowing it was coming, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. What a way to die. It has been the same throughout the centuries, ever since the days when Paul wrote these words. Christian men have been repeating these experiences in their lives. Read the stories of the saints. Read the stories of the martyrs and the confessors. Read about those men who advanced to the stake smiling, preaching from the stake as the flames were encircling them. This is how the doctor describes those who build their house on the rock, who build their house on Jesus and his word and obedience to his word. This is who we want to be, beloved. This is who we want to be. We want to be this kind of people. And even as I say these words, I feel build up in my heart, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I read these words about these men and women of old who did not fear anything frightening, and I say, Lord, I'm afraid, help my fear. Help me trust you. Help me obey you. Help me be the person you want me to be. That should well up in our hearts. We want to be these kinds of people who build on the rock, who build on Christ, his word, and obey the word. Lord, show me where I'm not obeying. Show me where I'm hearing your word over and over again, reading through the Bible in a year, over and over again, coming to sermons and listening over and over again, but not doing what you say. Lord, I don't want to be one who builds my house on the sand. And so Jesus not only exhorts us to be wise and to build our house on the rock by hearing his words and doing them, but Jesus warns us about only hearing his words and failing to do them as well. Look at verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. If you only hear Jesus' words and do not do them, Jesus says, you are foolish. You're foolish, like the foolish man in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So we want to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Jesus is warning that those who are just hearers are foolish. They're fools, like the person who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like and doesn't make any corrections. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be foolish that way. If you only hear Jesus' words and do not do them, Jesus says you are building your life on sand. Sand. Any other foundation than obedience to Jesus Christ and his word is sand. It will not hold you up. You will not stand. When homes are built, when buildings are built, when the Brooklyn Bridge was built, they dug down deep to the rock so that the foundation would be on the rock, so that that bridge would be still standing today. If you didn't dig down deep and built it on sand, it would fall. It won't hold you up. It won't stand. What kinds of foundations do people build their lives on today? Well, false religions. I mean, one of my prayers about all that's going on in Afghanistan is that the world will see the wicked evil of Islam. Why are Taliban fighters taking captive little girls and women and raping them? Because Muhammad commanded them to do that, because Allah said you could do that. You could take the spoils of your right hand. That's not an aberration of Islam. That's just what their sources teach. May God open people's eyes to the wickedness of this religion and the wickedness of this prophet, who's not a prophet, who's a false prophet. That's what happened when ISIS went wild. Many people saw the wickedness of this religion and turned from it. We ought to pray that many people would turn from that vile religion and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. People build their house on the sinking sand of false religion, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and many others. People build their job, their lives on their own works. I am good enough. I'm smart enough. I'm wise enough. I'm a good person. I'm not as bad as this person. And they think because they're not as bad as the next that will be a foundation for them to enter heaven, and it's going to fall. It's going to fall. Nobody's been good enough except Jesus. People build their lives on good things that become God things and then become bad things, as one has said. People build their lives on sports, on games, on entertainment, on job, on career, on other people, on their spouse, on their boyfriend, on their girlfriend, on their children. That will fall. People build their house on money, their life on money, on stuff, on power, on glory, on sex, on pleasure, on all manner of other selfish desires. They build on drugs, on success, on fame. All of these are sinking sand. And yet, brothers and sisters, to bring you back to the main point of this text, the sinking sand, the main point of this text is, the sinking sand is hearing the words of Jesus and not doing them. That's the sinking sand of this text. That's what the man who's foolish is building his house on. Again, it's not all the people who aren't here today. It's the people who hear the words of Jesus and don't do them. That's the sinking sand. That's the sinking sand. And Jesus is warning us. He's warning his disciples. He's warning us because he loves us. If you only hear and do, not do, the words of Jesus, you will most certainly fall. If you and I and anybody else only hears and does not do the words of Jesus, you will most certainly fall. Look at verse 27. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The house built on sand will fall a great fall. When the rains and the floods and the winds and the storms of life come, these sandy foundations will not sustain you. They will not. When the judgment of God comes, these sandy foundations will not sustain you. And Jesus says the fall will be great. And that fall is hell. Jesus again, I mean, in the very last words, I mean, he ends with this. He doesn't end on an upper. His very last words are these. Great was the fall of it. Amen. Let us pray. Do we want preaching like Jesus? Do I preach like Jesus? And that great fall is the wrath of God, spoken of in places like Revelation 14, 10 through 11. He also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Great will be the fall of those who build their house on sand, who hear the words of Jesus and do not put them into practice. Building on sand is quick and easy. Building on the rock takes time and is hard. Notice that, beloved, from the parallel passage in Luke's gospel. Listen to the way Luke puts it, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Luke 6, 47 through 49. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well, it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I couldn't help but think of this book. Dug Down Deep by Joshua Harris. Taking the title of this book from these very words in Luke chapter 6. Very prominent megachurch pastor who's written lots of books like this, but he no longer follows Jesus. And yet he wrote a book on this passage called Dug Down Deep. And he no longer follows Jesus. He wrote books about being dug down deep. But he was building his life on sand. Let that be a warning to me and to you and to all of us. It's not about writing books about building your house upon the rock. It's not about writing books about Jesus or talking about Jesus or being a pastor who preaches about Jesus. It's about hearing the words of Jesus and doing them. And that's hard. It's easy to build a house on the sand. You just get started. The foolish sand builders, they just want to get it done quick. You don't have to dig, just start. Oh, we don't worry about the winds. Just build. But you see, to build on the rock, you got to dig down deep. It takes work. It's hard. It's painful. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to His good purpose. Strive, Jesus said, agonize to enter in the narrow gate. Again, the words of Paul come to mind. I beat my body and bring it under subjection, lest after preaching to others, I myself become a castaway. This is the flavor of this warning of Jesus. Again, I wish I could be more happy, more clappy. But this is not the tenor of this text. This is a weighty text that's moving us to examine ourselves and ask the question, am I hearing and obeying the words of Jesus? Jesus' last words of the greatest sermon ever preached in the history of mankind. And great was the fall of it. 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 May that be an inspiration for us to cling to Christ, to cry to Christ, to pray to Christ. Lord, don't let me turn from you. Don't let me be deceived. Lord, show me how I'm not being obedient. Help me be obedient. Beloved, beware. Judas heard Jesus' sermons. Judas heard the greatest sermons of the greatest preacher who ever lived. Judas had the greatest pastor and the greatest discipler of anyone who ever lived. He had the greatest pastor who ever lived. He had the greatest discipler who ever lived. Judas did. But Judas did not believe and do the words of Jesus. Beloved, are there ways in which you are not believing and doing the words of Jesus? I hope that we come to these services with expectation that hearing the words of God will actually change our behavior and lives. In other words, something actually changes. Like I do something different this week than I did last because of an encounter with the living God and His Word. We should pray for that and expect that. So are there ways in which you and I are not believing and doing the words of Jesus? I know there are for me. Ways in which I struggle with certain anxieties and fears that I need to hear the words of Lloyd Jones and Jesus. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Help me, Lord. Help me obey your words. And beloved, we do this. We do this by looking to Jesus. We will only grow in these areas as we look to him and commune with him and talk with him and ask him to show us ways in which we're failing to do what he has said. Jesus Christ is the wisest man who has ever lived. He's the only one who has obeyed all of his own words and all of God's word perfectly. He faced the greatest rains and the greatest floods and winds and storms that anyone could ever face. And he allowed himself to take on all of our foolish sins. And he took the great fall. That great fall, he took it. He took it for all of our sin when he died upon the cross. But he also stood. He also stood. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell, never to die again. And if we want to grow in our obedience to him and ensure that we are not one of the deceived ones, then we must look to him. We must look to him. We must trust in him. We must cry out to him and have a conversation, have a serious conversation with our Savior. Lord Jesus, I've heard these words of your Sermon on the Mount, and I've heard this warning you give at the very end. Lord Jesus, I want to be a wise man or woman. I want to build my house on the rock. I want to hear your words and obey them. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, help me do it. Help me grow in my obedience to you, my devotion to you, my love for you, my commitment to you. Lord, show me any blind spots in my life. And help me trust and obey. That's the life of a believer. That's what believers do constantly. Evaluate, pray, long for greater obedience, long for greater faithfulness. That's the life of a believer. And Jesus is encouraging us to continue to do that today. Christ Jesus is the rock who came yesterday, today, and forever the same. His words make wise and hearts inflame to do them for his praise and fame. He bore God's wrath and all our blame. He died and rose to take our shame for ruined sinners to reclaim. By faith alone we're his, exclaim. Now build that house on rocks, the aim. His words we do and them proclaim. All by his Spirit for his name. And Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this sermon. We thank you, Lord, for our loving Savior who warns us. He loves us enough to warn us to not be hearers only, but to be doers. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work in us today, that you would convict us of ways in which we're not living out what we're hearing. And we pray, Lord God, that you would work in us by your Spirit such that we would more and more live in conformity to the words of Christ by the power of the Spirit who dwells in us. Father, we pray for those who are hard of heart and deceived. Father, if anyone is here this morning who is one of these who is foolish and hearing your words but not living them and obeying them, we pray that you would awaken them to their peril and the danger, and that you would save them and help them to build their house on the rock. And Father, I also know there are tender consciences here that may feel overwhelmed by this warning of Jesus, and we pray for them as well. Lord, that they would know your peace, that they would know your comfort, that you would remind them of ways that they are being obedient to you, that you would bear witness with their spirit that they are the children of God, that they would be encouraged and not overburdened by your words, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for all those in between, that your Spirit would rightly apply these words of Jesus to our hearts as they were meant to be applied and spoken. And Father, we pray that all of us would build our house on the rock, on Christ, on His word, and be obedient to that word, that we might stand forever in Your presence, where there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.